Every time I see that video, I remember the first time, the first meeting we went to, Pastor, I remember I started crying, because I sit there and I think about the lost souls. Yes, they're all over the world, but it's something different when you know that's what the Lord's calling you. And you see those people and you get to experience that with those people was just a blessing. And I could sit here and talk to you for hours about everything we saw over there and what the Lord's put on our hearts, but it was just a blessing to be able to be there and see exactly what the Lord's doing, especially with the Ruples and what they're doing over there and what a blessing they were to us personally. But we'll just get right into it. If you could turn your Bibles to, if you have them this, tonight, Lord, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse number 22 through 25. If you could stand, please, if you have the ability to. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we get to come to your house tonight to worship you. Lord, I pray you'll lead, you'll guide, Lord. Just protect us tonight, Lord. Protect our hearts. Lord, I pray you'll open our hearts to what you have. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that only what you have for me to say will be said, no more and no less. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Will you continue to do in our lives and continue to further your gospel? Lord, give me wisdom this afternoon, Lord. In your name, amen. I see here in verse number 22, I have three small points that I'd like to get to. But in verse number 22, I see a simple command that that Jesus is giving his disciples. He gave the disciples and he said, Listen, I want you to get on this ship and I want you to go to the other side. Very simple, nothing difficult about that. The disciples have most likely, all of them at some point probably been into a ship one time or another. They've gone fishing one time or another. So all he was trying to say is, Listen, I want you to get into this ship and I want you to go to the other side. A very simple command. Now, the main point that I want to get here is that when God gives a command, that we're listening. That we're listening to everything that he says, and that there's two things that we get across is that we're listening to his command and that we're obeying right away with our whole hearts. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 5, I see a command that was given. It says, And he saw two ships, verse number 2, standing by the lake, but their fishermen was gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Now I want you to look at this. Jesus says, let down your nets, plural. It's very important. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So at this point, Simon says, Listen, Jesus, I know better than you at this point. I've already been out there. I've done everything that I could do to possibly catch some fish, and there is nothing out there. But he has the creator of the universe saying, Listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and take your nets, and I want you to throw them in the water. But he already thought in his mind that he already knew exactly what was going to happen. The thing is, when Jesus gets involved, we don't know what's going to happen, but we need to do what he says. We need to listen to his command. And it says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, is that what Jesus told him to do? Jesus said, Listen, I want you to take all of your nets and throw them into the water. And Simon said, Listen, I already know what's going to happen. So just to appease you, Jesus, I'm going to throw down just one net. Just because, you know what, I've already been out there, I already know what's going to happen, so I'm just going to throw down one net just to see, just to say, okay, I'll do what you asked me to do, but not with all his heart. He didn't listen to God's command completely because Jesus told him to say, listen, I want you to cast down all your nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Shocker, huh? Jesus said, listen, this is what I want you to do, and next thing you know, you see him being blessed. And you see him, I could imagine, I picture myself when I read these accounts in the Bible, I try to put myself in his shoes. And you know what? I'm sure there's plenty of times when God gives us a command that we say, well, I can do it this way, and it will probably do just the same. And Simon here sees, and he says, and when they had done this, enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Now we see in chapter 8 where Jesus gives the disciples a command and how important it is to listen to God, to Jesus' command at that point. But we see at the same time that when Jesus gives a command that we need to listen and obey wholeheartedly the first time right away. Now, see, he was blessed. Don't get me wrong. Simon was obviously blessed. He had a multitude of fishes, and he was blessed. But what I look at this story, this account in the Bible, and I look at it, and I say, well, he could have had more blessings. Just think about if he would have cast down all of his nets, what he could have had. But instead, he decided just to cast down one because he thought he knew better. And we see how important it is to, when God gives us a command, to obey right away with the right heart. No matter what the situation may be, no matter what he may be asking us to do, that we're supposed to obey right away with the right attitude, with the right heart. And here, the disciples obeyed right away. They obeyed his command. October 17, 2017, God gave me a command. I remember I could tell you exactly where I was sitting. I could tell you the time of day. It was at a preacher's conference at our church, at First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. Pastor Paul Chappell and Pastor R.B. Ouellette were preaching that night about doing work for God. Not just a 9-to-5 job to where you get a paycheck and you get to go home, you pay your bills, but a 9-to-5, but a job where you're serving God each and every day. And I remember sitting in that pew thinking to myself, and the Lord's just sitting there poking and poking and poking. You know how sometimes we like to just kind of shove them off just a little bit. Like, no, Lord, I'm okay. Everything's fine. And they just kept preaching. And Pastor Chappell preached about doing work for God. And it just so happened to be, whether they talked about it or not, I don't know. But Brother Ouellette got up there right after that. And he preached on the same exact topic about doing work for God. And it's like, okay, God, I'm getting it now. And I remember by the time Pastor Ouellette was done preaching that message, I was sitting in my pew. They say grown men don't cry, but I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes into your life and he starts to work in your heart, there's going to be tears sometimes. And I remember sitting there and I started to cry in that pew because I knew exactly what God was telling me to do. And I remember at that moment when I got up, now this is wrong to do, you don't make deals with God, and I learned it the hard way per se, but I said, okay, Lord, if you just allow me to be able to get up from my pew, walk down in the back, and Pastor Ouellette is back there all by himself, then I'll talk to him about it. Now, I thought I had it in the bag. You know, you're at a preacher's conference. Who doesn't want to talk to Pastor Ouellette or Pastor Chappell? They're both standing in the back. So I thought I had it made. Everything's good to go. I can just walk back there. No one's going to be back there. And I'll just continue to walk on my way. I even waited a few minutes. I waited a couple minutes just to make sure people had time to get back there and to talk to him. So all of a sudden, I waited a few minutes, and I was sitting down, and I remember getting up. I had my head down. I took a couple steps, and I went straight down this aisle just like that. I looked up, and wouldn't you believe it? The only person back there was Pastor R.B. Ouellette. And my soon-to-be wife didn't know that at the time, but she was back there as well, but he was the only one back there not talking to anybody. And I remember I walked back there. I walked straight down the aisle, walked right back to him. I took one step, and he turned around almost like he knew I was there, and he said, Brother Turnbull. And I just broke down in tears. I couldn't even talk. I'm pretty sure at that point he probably thought that I was talking a different language or dialect or something because no words were coming out of my mouth, just tears and sobbing. And so he's like, let's go in another room. So we went in another room, and I remember at that moment telling him, listen, this is what God's put on my heart. There's no doubt in my mind this is what he has for me to do. Let's start moving forward towards that goal. And from that day forward, I remember there was no looking back because God gave me a command to say, listen, this is what I have for you to do. I want you to go all in on this. Now, I will tell you, I had my whole life planned out, and Pastor hit it this morning, and I loved what he said. Listen, you can have all the things in this world. You can have all the toys, and I love motorcycles. I had 2 or 3 motorcycles. I had a nice sports car. I had all that stuff, but what was it doing me? Now, I'm not saying having nice stuff is wrong, but I'm just saying when it becomes a passion in your life to have nice things and to have all that stuff, then there's a problem. And for me, that was a problem. I wanted to have the toys and I wanted to have all that stuff, but God said, listen, I want you to serve me. And I thought in my life, listen, if I get rid of this stuff, how am I going to have fun? How am I going to be able to enjoy that? Trust me, it's been a blast. Going to each and every church, pastor, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing who you're going to meet, not knowing what's going to, you know, happen next, it's nerve-wracking, I'll be honest with you, but at the same time, it's been amazing. And the people we've gotten to meet and the things that we've gotten to do just because we were able to serve the Lord and we listened to his command. Amen. And it's so important that each and every day that there is a command that is given to us. Now, I don't know anybody in here, and I couldn't tell you what the command that God is giving to you, but I am positive as a Christian that God's giving us a command. In our hearts, he's giving us a command. I'm not saying that he's calling you to be a missionary or he's calling you to be a pastor, but maybe he's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he's calling you to help in a certain area of the church. Whatever it may be, fill in the blank, that God's giving you a command, and it's our job to make sure we're listening to him each and every day and that we're obeying him wholeheartedly. And I remember at that very moment that I said, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you. I want to give everything I have to you because this world, they want you to think that they have so much to offer, but they really don't. And I remember at that moment thinking to myself, okay, Lord, I remember selling everything. I sold everything I had but the clothes that I had and a vehicle that I had, and the Lord blessed from that point forward, and I found my wife that God had planned for me and had everything in store, and from that point forward, it's just been a blessing, and it's been amazing, and we get to go to different churches and meet different people, and it's been such an amazing blessing in our lives. But it all started with, because God gave me a command, and we obeyed wholeheartedly. I didn't just do what Simon did and said, okay, well, I'll just do it half-heartedly and I'll do what I want to do, but I'm going to do wholeheartedly and give God everything I have. And I'll be honest with you, at one point, it was a fear of mine that I was going to lose all that stuff until I gave it all away and said, okay, Lord, use me as you will. And then it was just an amazing blessing after that. And I could tell you story after story, account after account, where the Lord has blessed us. And there's been times where there may have been fear, there may have been doubt, but at the same time, the Lord said, listen, I'm here. I have everything under control. So we see here in the beginning in verse number 22, we see the command that God's given the disciples. Simple command. He wants them to get onto the ship and go to the other side. We see in verse number 23, we see the circumstances. The circumstances in life. It says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. The storm I see as circumstances, if I can put it that way. The storm in the disciples' life at that moment was a circumstance. It was a hard time. It was a troubling time in their life that maybe didn't make sense to them because all they were doing was trying to follow Jesus and do exactly what he told them to do. Can I say, Christian, tonight, that maybe God's giving you a command and you're trying to obey him and I'm trying to obey him and maybe something comes up into your life that doesn't make sense. Maybe there's something that comes into your life that you can't explain, that you don't understand why. Say, God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to do everything I can do for you. I'm serving you. And something comes up that just doesn't make sense. I'll tell you, during this time, everything was going absolutely amazing. We had meetings from last October till basically November booked every single Sunday just about. In the last 3 months, we had meetings every single Sunday booked. And next thing you know, the virus hits. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that for sympathy. I'm not saying that for any other purpose, but to say that was unexpected. To me, that would have been a circumstance in my life that saying, God, this doesn't make sense. My wife and I have been praying for a long time before we even started deputation about when he wanted us to be on the field. We believed in our hearts that it was going to be in January of 2021. The first or second week, we were kind of debating, but we were debating about either, I think it was the second week we were thinking about going as long as we had the support and everything. But then all of a sudden this hit, so we lost 8 or 9 meetings. Now, hold on a second, that doesn't make sense. You said that if I follow you and I do exactly what you have to do, that you're going to take care of me. And I remember talking to my wife, and I thought, okay, we lost one meeting. No big deal. It's okay. It's fine. And then we lost a second meeting. And it's like, it's okay. No big deal. You know, hopefully we can reschedule. And then a third meeting. And then a fourth meeting. And I remember at that moment, I started thinking to myself, okay, God, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense because, you know, I'm pretty sure that you put this in our hearts that we're supposed to leave in January. We're losing meetings. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. And the circumstances came in my life that said, okay, God, you're going to have to show me what's going on here because this doesn't make sense. And I remember I was talking to my pastor, Pastor J.D. Howell, one day, and he was talking to me, and we normally go out and we'll have coffee or go soul winning together. And I was talking to him over Zoom at this point because this is the middle of the virus. And he asked me, he's like, is everything going okay? And I said, oh, you know, I'm a little discouraged. He goes, what about? I said, well, you know, we're planning on being on the field in January. And as of right now, you know, we're losing all these meetings. And it just doesn't make sense. And he said, so what's the problem? That's not what you want to hear from your pastor, okay? You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear, so what's the problem? Our pastor's very optimistic, by the way. And I said, well, we're losing meetings. Like, you know, we had this plan, and I had my mindset of what I thought that needed to happen, but it wasn't happening. And he said, well, did he tell you this is what he wanted you to do? I said, yes, sir. And he said, this is the date that he put on your mind and in your heart. Yes, sir. Okay, so why can't he do it? I said, okay, come to Jesus moment. We're here. We got it. And I just looked at him, you know, in your mind, in your heart, you want to say you're wrong, you know, but you have to admit you're right, you know. So I said, you're right. That was my moment when circumstances came into my life. And I said, listen, I have to understand that God is fully in control. And maybe someone in here is going through a circumstance or has gone through one and doesn't understand why, but God is always in control no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in our lives. He's always in control. The Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter what he's doing or what's going on in our lives. He's going to be by our side, holding our hands, taking us through every trial, through every tribulation. No matter what happens, he's going to be there. He promises that he will never change, no matter what, that he will guide and direct our paths each and every day. If we will follow him, he will lead us through every temptation, through every situation. He will be there. His promises are new each and every day. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to guide us. And yes, there may be temptations. There may be circumstances that come into our lives that just don't make sense and we don't understand why. But he has the answers. We have to turn to him. And I'll tell you what, I wish I could stand before you and say that every time a circumstance came up that I turned to God, but it just seems to be not that way every time. Flesh, pride, whatever you want to call it to be, and I wish I could say that today that each and every time that happens, it does, but it doesn't. And we have to understand that no matter what comes into our lives, that God has it under control. So we see the command, we see the circumstances that we have that come, that maybe they just don't make sense. But I'm here to tell you, in spite of the circumstances in life, we have a comforter. We have a mighty comforter. And Pastor, I love this. I love this verse. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Those circumstances that were in the disciples' life at that moment, where they felt like everything was crashing around them, that nothing made sense at that point because they were just following God and doing what he told them to do, we see here that Jesus says, listen, I'm on this ship too. My question is tonight as well, Does it feel like sometimes maybe Jesus has fallen asleep in your life? Does it feel like in our lives that maybe he's not there holding our hands, that he's not there guiding us? Maybe, as this verse says, he was asleep. I would rather be on that ship with Jesus asleep than without him. I can tell you that right now. Because he wants to be there for us no matter what. You may not feel like he's in there. And there's times where it's like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Why are you doing this? But he is there to comfort us through every situation, through every trial, no matter what it is, no matter what happens. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him. He will lead us. He will guide us through every situation that comes down our path. We have to trust him. Because he wants to comfort us through every trial, through every situation, no matter what happens, no matter what comes into our lives. You know, there's things that I can't explain. There's things that God has done in our lives that I looked at my wife and said, that just doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense. There was one time that we had some bills due. We had multiple bills due. I quit my job back in January. I believe wholeheartedly that's what the Lord had. And next thing you know, we had some bills come up that were unexpected. And I said, Lord, this is what you called me to do. Please take care of this. This doesn't make sense. Please take care of this. And I kid you not, it was probably that next week we randomly got a text message from a pastor, a church that supports us, and he said that there was somebody in the church, he didn't name who, he said, you must have been on their heart or something because they donated $1,000 to you. And I'll kid you not, that covered all of our bills, surprisingly. And we got to go out and get some McDonald's. So it was a blessing. But serving God, that's what it's about. It's about faith. It's trusting in him each and every step of every day. And we have to understand that no matter what comes our way, that he's going to comfort us. Yes, there may be a bill. Yes, there may be someone that's sick that we know. No matter what it is, God wants to comfort you. But it starts with obeying him. It starts with trusting him and saying, okay, Lord, I want to give you everything. Not like Simon. Yes, he was blessed, but he missed out on a whole lot if he would have just listened wholeheartedly and said, I will do exactly what you told me to do. Sometimes it's hard. Could you imagine that? My family, I've never seen my dad cry in my whole entire life. Not once. A man among men, let's put it that way. Never seen him cry. But the day that I told him I was going to do an internship because he knew it was getting closer for us to go to Cambodia. As I left, he gave me a hug and he started to cry. It's difficult. You're leaving your family, you're leaving your friends, you're leaving everything you've known behind, but I'll tell you what, there's people that asked me in the beginning, they asked me exactly, how do you explain this? Isn't it kind of hard over there and this and that? And I didn't really have an answer for him because of course it's going to be. But as I pray and as I seek God's wisdom, the answer that I started to tell people was, listen, I would rather be in God's will in Cambodia than out of God's will here at home. I'd rather be in God's will in Cambodia because that's where I'm going to be the most safe, is in God's will, no matter where he wants to send me, no matter what he wants to do with my life, that I need to trust him and be guided by him each and every day. Not what feels comfortable to me, not what I think that I might need in my life, but exactly what God has for me in my life. And I see the comforter. It says, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He wants to direct each and every step. You know what? In the beginning, I was praying to God, saying, listen, can you just light up that path all the way back to the door for me and show me exactly what it is? And I prayed that. I kid you not. I said, just show me exactly what you got and what's going on. And as I started to pray that, I started to think to myself, you know what, that can't happen. Because if I knew exactly what was supposed to happen, if I knew exactly what I was supposed to do and what was going to happen in my life, would I really trust God that much more? Would I really trust him that he's going to take care of everything if I already know what's going to happen? And you know what, it's been a blessing going from church to church, meeting new people and seeing exactly what's going on. And I was talking to Pastor this afternoon and saying, you know what, it's a blessing to see a church like this because there's this mentality in nowadays that we have to do things a different way. That things can't be done the old-fashioned way, per se, if we want to put it the old-fashioned way. But this is a spitting image of it. And it's such a blessing to come to a church like this and to see this, and it's been a blessing to my heart and to my wife's heart. I'm thankful that God has called us and that he's given us a command. I just pray that when God gives any one of us a command or gives us a call, no matter what it is, that we'll listen wholeheartedly. You know what, Pastor, the best part of this story to me that I love the most is that we see the command, we see the circumstances that come up into their lives, and we see the comforter. But what I want you to really see in this passage is that God gave them a command, regardless of the circumstances, he got them to the other side. So if God's giving you a command, and yes, things may happen in your life, things may come up that don't make sense, but I promise you, if he's giving you a command, in his word, he promises you that if you obey him wholeheartedly and you give him everything you have, he will get you to the other side. And I remember reading this and putting myself and thinking to myself, because yes, there are circumstances that come up, and yes, it was difficult to really say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to Cambodia. We're going to go somewhere where we don't understand or know anything. The language is just ancient dialect to me, and I look at it, and it looks like it's a bunch of maybe 2 or 3-year-olds that took some squiggly lines and put them in a book. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. But what I will say is that God has given us the command that this is where we're supposed to go. No matter what happens in between in this time, he's going to get us there. That's the most important thing that I want you to understand tonight. That if God has given you a command, first of all, that we listen and we obey wholeheartedly the first time and do it exactly how God is telling us to do it, but also understand, even when those circumstances come up, even when those trials come up that maybe don't make sense to us, that we have a comforter in our lives. As a Christian, we have a comforter that will take care of us. And if there's someone in here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I beg you, listen, as a Christian, the least we can do is give God everything that we have. He's given us so much. He died on the cross and paid for our sins. He's given us eternal life, a home in heaven that we get to be with him one day, and we don't have to worry about this world anymore. I love the song, Pastor, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." I'm thankful for that, but the least we can do is give God everything we absolutely have, because he's given us the best gift. And if there's someone in here that doesn't understand what that best gift is, I beg you and I plead that you will understand what that gift is. Because eternal life is the best gift that you can ever have. It's the best gift that can ever come into your life. You can't compare it with anything this world has to offer. Yes, this world has the toys, it has the fun, it has all the glitz and glamour, but I'm telling you, it's not as important, not even close to important as it is to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen. We have a comforter that wants to guide us, that wants to lead us each and every day. Are we listening to his command? Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the people that are here, Lord, and the hearts have been touched. I pray that you'll just continue to lead and guide. Thank you for all that you've done. In your name.